everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed is producing and engineering our show today. This is Monday, February the 9th, 2015. It's the Buckmaster Show coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Ed and I hope you had a great weekend and are looking forward to a great week. We have all of our podcasts available for you, along with live streaming at buckmastershow.com. KVOI also has the very convenient live streaming for you, so there is no reason why you cannot find us, whether you're in front of a computer or in front of a radio, we're there for you. The face-off will get us rolling down the Monday afternoon track of life, and then at 12:30, why are international students so important to the future of Pima Community College? Then we'll close out the show with State Representative Chris Ackerley. He is a freshman lawmaker, a Republican from District 2. This is part of our ongoing Capitol Update series here on the Buckmaster Show. At least once a week, we're trying to talk with a local lawmaker. Local being Southern Arizona will be our main emphasis. Our Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040. The live line is open for you anytime during the hour to voice your questions or voice your concerns. And also, you can communicate with us on our Facebook page, which is simply Bill Buckmaster. The Monday Political Face-Off kicks off the week. It always does. Bruce Ash is here this week. Bruce is in his third four-year term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. That's a very important position in the Republican Party. Paul Eckerstrom has held very important positions in the Democrat Party. He's a longtime Democrat Party activist, former state and local Democratic Party chair. The Face-Off is brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors. I have some in my home. They're beautiful. Art for your walls, picture framing. Moe does a lot of our, in fact, all of our framing needs at the Buckmaster House. He'll even come out and make sure everything is hung properly. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Would that be hanged properly or hung? I'm not quite sure. Maybe someone will correct us. Paul Eckerstrom, how are you?
Good, except for watching the Wildcats lose to ASU this weekend.
Man, what the heck?
Oh, well.
And Mr. Ash?
Well, I'm with Paul Eckerstrom. Boy, anytime the Cats lose, and especially when they lose ugly like they lost the other day.
Especially to ASU.
Yeah, boy, it really makes for a rough,
will it affect
day.
The number one seed ranking that we're hoping for?
It depends. You know, there were some other upsets in the top 10 over the weekend, and there's plenty more basketball to play. So you never know how that's all going to work out. But the Wildcats clearly now have a big obstacle to overcome, that loss to an 11-11 team.
We dropped from number, thanks Ed for putting that up, we dropped the latest rankings, just came out a few minutes ago. We were 6, we dropped one place down to 7, that's pretty good.
Yeah, we didn't drop too far, but our 3 losses have been to mediocre or bad teams, you know, on the road, granted, but I think that's going to affect I don't think we're going to get a number one seed, maybe a number two.
Hey guys, is Brian Williams going to survive this? I say there's just no way. The Washington Post is out with it just piles up today about some of his reporting, Mr. Williams, in Israel. There's questions about some of his reporting in New Orleans during Katrina. Of course, the reporting during Iraq under question. Paul, do you see him surviving this?
No. And here's why, because, you know, an anchor person is supposed to have credibility when they're relating the news.
It's our currency of this business. Exactly. If you can't be trusted.
And you know, Walter Cronkite's at a very high standard for most from his career. But, I think this is troubling in a way because of a larger picture where TV news is becoming more and more about entertainment or pushing an emotional button to get people to watch and up the ratings rather than reporting the hard news about things that are important so that people can make proper decisions, and for example, in our political system on terms of the, how they vote, or frankly, just to be informed about all the events that are going on, rather than having somebody have it to exaggerate and create an emotional setting for a person to get higher ratings. And I also say that this is the troubling thing is this is dovetailed with the demise of the print media, which always can go into things more in-depth than TV because of the time. But because of lack of staffs and cutbacks, they aren't able to do that job mm-hmm. anymore. And TV always kind of followed the print media in terms of the details yeah. and of the news. And I think we're missing that. And unfortunately, I think we're going to have a less informed public because of it.
What do you think, Bruce Ash? Is Mr. Williams going to survive the this trouble?
I don't know. That's a decision that NBC News management's going to have to make. Think about who preceded Brian Williams at NBC Nightly News.
Tom Brokaw.
Tom Brokaw, who was there for a long, long time, had a very, very distinguished career. John Chancellor,
yes,
also yeah. a Huntley long, long time, very, very well thought of newsman. And then before that, Huntley and Brinkley. You know, so now you go back really to the mid or early 50s, and I probably ought to have done a little bit of homework to go before them, but certainly NBC News has had a great stable for, you know, 70 years almost of great anchors. Look at NBC News, that franchise, when the network was acquired. mm-hmm. It was acquired because, in part, of that news franchise, mm-hmm. the Today Show, Meet the Press, the NBC Nightly News. Well, really now all three of those treasures within the NBC News orbit have really been seriously diminished. And if you are in charge of the managing that news and you want people watching your broadcast every night, it has to be somebody that you trust, that the viewers will trust. And Mr. Williams may have crossed that line and could have a trouble in the future.
Here's what NBC should have done, gentlemen. When this first broke, they should have told Brian Williams, you're going on unpaid leave until we figure this out, but it's going to be difficult for you to survive the job because NBC, and I'm sure they do have this somewhere in his contract, mm-hmm. If you embellish, if you lie, you are gone. Your contract is null and void. You mm-hmm. will not be paid like if you were leaving and jumping ship to go to another network. You're through. It's a zero tolerance. It has to be. Our currency in my profession, and I've been in it for nearly 50 years, is the truth. You don't tell the truth, you should be gone.
Well, and if you look at it in the print media, any reporter that got caught making something up or plagiarizing, they were gone immediately. And I don't feel bad for Brian Williams. He makes $10 million a year. I'm sure he's got plenty of money for retirement. Huntley and Brinkley and Cronkite and some of those guys, when TV was in its infancy, they came from print journalism. Mm-hmm. They had the journalistic ethic.
Yeah.
These days, it's more about how good you look on TV before you make it on as a anchor or something like that. The journalism background really isn't there, I don't think. And that's unfortunate for our society because most people get their news now from TV. And if it's not good news, if it's made up or if it's embellished, it's not a good way to inform people about what's going on around the world.
I doubt that Chet Huntley would have much of a chance given his rugged looks, if you remember what Chet Huntley looked
like.
Yeah,
he would never make it these days.
And if you looked at...
Or Cronkite, for that matter.
If you looked at the staccato style of David Brinkley, who delivered the news in this sort of fashion...
That's very good,
Bruce. I mean, he wouldn't have made it either, probably.
No.
But as Paul pointed out rightly, they were print journalists before. They had a long history, coming up. They were managing the news and so on, and that's how they got those jobs in those
days.
And Paul,
you said something earlier, and I reflected on my time in commercial TV in San Francisco in the 80s before I came out here to work at for the PBS station. We used to, in the early 80s, we still were going to county supervisors' meetings, and we still were going to city council meetings. But then the consultants came in and said, it's too boring. You can't go to watch bunches of people sitting around doing nothing, is what the consultants said. It's boring TV. So that stuff wasn't reported on.
Yeah, and you know what? You need to have that reported on, because that's the stuff that actually makes the biggest difference in people's lives when it comes to government. The local supervisors or city council, that's where the rubber meets the road in terms of meeting people's needs through government. And and unfortunately, you're right. We're not getting much knowledge about what's happening even locally in our community from a government reporting standpoint. And it's really unfortunate, because informed public, as Thomas Jefferson said, makes democracy.
And you know how anchors are chosen? I'll tell you. They get an air check. The news director and general manager in some stations, they will have a stack of tapes in front of them. They will spend 15 to 20 seconds on that tape. They don't care what the person is saying. It is about the look. That is what it's about. You don't have the right look? Eject. Move on to the next tape.
Well, Paul talked about, he talked about political reporting. It used to be that Ed Moore made pretty good press here in Tucson.
Yeah.
Wanda Shattuck made pretty good press here in Tucson. Tom Volge made pretty good press here in Tucson.
Yeah.
Not always for the right reasons, but it was entertaining as hell listening to and following the news in the Arizona Daily Star. The Duronco, the Stellar, the investigative, the Chris Lambaris's of the world, those are guys that people look forward to the next installment of whatever they were working on. You said that you watched all the President's Men, over the weekend or something, and that kind of journalism, that sells newspapers. That drives ratings.
Well, this wasn't going to be my topic. I was only going to spend a few seconds on it, but obviously it took up the first segment. When we come back on the Monday Political Face-Off, we're going to talk about, is it a good idea to expand a lawmaker term from 2 to 4 years? State Senator John Kavanaugh thinks it's a very good decision. He wrote a pretty compelling op-ed piece in the Arizona Republic on Saturday on why we need to go to four-year terms. That's what we'll talk about as we continue on the Monday Political Face-Off.
Did you know that Goodwill of Southern Arizona spends 90 cents of every dollar supporting 5 youth programs, 5 adult programs, and over 500 full-time jobs? When you donate and shop with Goodwill, you strengthen our community by empowering children, adults, and people with barriers to employment. Friendly employees are ready to assist you with your donations at over 40 locations across Southern Arizona. Drop-off locations and more information are available at GoodwillSouthernAZ.org.
Perfection Auto Works knows that no one wants auto repair for Valentine's Day. People say it's just not sexy. Well, I'm here to tell you that it is, because your wife doesn't just drive a Porsche or a Mercedes, she wears it. You had the good taste to buy her that car. Now, have the good taste to take it to a great shop. Perfection Auto Works, 323-8650.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hey, Hey, honey. Welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Please join the UA College of Science, which celebrates the premiere of its 10th free public lecture series starting Monday, January 26th. This year's 7 lecture series topic is Life in the Universe, which explores our universe of molecular, biological, and cosmic scale to ask, what is life and how do we recognize it? Each program starts at 7 p.m. More information at cos.arizona.edu.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. I guess I took a little too long talking about Brian Williams, because now I've only got about 8 minutes to talk with Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom about a proposal from Arizona State Senator John Kavanaugh, Republican from Phoenix area. Paul, he wants to expand lawmaker terms from 2 to 4 years. Good idea?
I think it's a good idea. Although I would put a caveat, I think if you're going to do that, you got to make sure that the elections take place in the presidential years where there's higher turnout, so we have everybody participating. The reason I say this, and I'm all for democracy, I'm all for elections, but there's a point now in our system where people don't have the time to actually govern. They have to immediately start running again if it's a 2-year cycle. It happens in U.S. Congress. You have to start raising money. You have to start worrying about your reelection. And what it does is it takes away from the time lawmakers have to develop their relationships with each other so that we can have more bipartisanship. If people know each other and trust each other, even though they're on opposite party lines, they can find common ground and work on things to get things passed together. And I think this is one of the things, especially in the U.S. Congress, where it's 2-year terms, this is one of the things that has caused, I think, a lot of angst where there isn't as much bipartisanship. It used to be that Mo Udall's of the world and John Rhodes and Barry Goldwater's of the world would get together and socialize together because Mo didn't have to run immediately. He could wait till the next year to run. He could stay in Washington and develop relationships. Same thing goes for the state legislature. I think it's a good idea for that reason. I would just put a caveat that we would I would hope that we would have the elections in at least half of them in the election cycle when the presidential year is, because that's when more people turn out to vote, and so we'll have a higher voter participation.
Bruce, you disagree.
This is a solution that's screaming out for a problem. John Kavanaugh might be a committee of one or two or 17. This is not a burning issue in the state of Arizona.
And it would have to go to the voters. They'd have to change the Constitution. You don't think voters would go for it?
I don't know if they would or wouldn't. But every time we have done these stupid things that we've done to, quote unquote, reform politics, it's had oftentimes unintended consequences that nobody could have anticipated. We were smart when we voted down this goofy jungle primary idea a couple of years ago. These are all, whether it's clean elections, term limits, this goofy idea, this is about electioneering. This is about trying to fix elections for your party going forward, and not good ideas. The reason that we are electing these people every 2 years, even though there's obviously, and Paul, I appreciate the point that you just made in terms of them having to run. This is a part-time legislature, okay? So they're raising money, but they only work part-time. But the point is that it is very, very important to hold our elected officials responsible to voters, responsible to the taxpayers. And when they have a longer term, they're, by human nature, not going to be listening as carefully and as closely and doing the kinds of things that you do when you know that 2 years from now you could be turned out of office. And I like accountability. I like responsibility in government. And I don't like quirky, jingoistic kind of ideas like this that just – this one, like I said, is a problem – that doesn't exist.
Well, I think the problem does exist. But, and by the way, John Kavanaugh is a Republican, and I don't really agree with him on much.
A idea to be agreeing with him on.
But, Bruce, your points are well taken as well. I mean, every 2 years, then the voters get a chance to throw somebody out if they really don't like what they're doing. But I do think there's need for governance, people in office that don't have to worry about being reelected right away, and that can actually sit down and do the hard work of governing and passing legislation and creating legislation and working across the aisle in a bipartisan way. I think the problem is a little bit more severe in the U.S. Congress because the amount of money it takes to run, you have to immediately start raising money again. And Mo Udall and Barry Goldwater and people like that were friends.
Yeah.
But now they don't have time to be friends, and that's the problem.
Well, let me address that for just a second, because I think there's somewhat of a misnomer. The politics in the U.S. Congress has become very polarized, and there's nobody who wouldn't agree with you. It's become as polarized as it is because we have some very, very Republican districts. We have some very, very Democrat districts.
I agree with that, too.
And both sides have jerry-rigged and gerrymandered and created this almost these impossible sorts of relationships to exist. And some of that has come through legislative, and some of that has come through these not-so-independent redistricting commissions. It's about an election strategy, and boy, oh boy, it just makes it difficult, I think, for people to get along. And there's far fewer Democrats. The ones who are left in the U.S. Congress now, they're kind of on the far left fringe of that party.
Yeah, okay. You make a good point about the competitiveness in the districts. I agree with that.
Let's try to take Matt, who's been waiting for us on the live line. Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, I read Kavanaugh's op-ed, and in my opinion, everything he said had nothing to do with, why it would be good every 2 years. If anything, if you were to put the top of his op-ed, it should read, why term limits don't work. I mean, honestly, inexperienced legislators, staffers taking control of the state legislature, having too much control, and dark money having more influence. It was all about, really, why the term limits don't work.
Yeah, I agree with him on that.
Representative Kavanaugh did, you know, point out one very interesting thing, which is that it is a good funnel. The current system is a good funnel system, if anything, to have more experience in the Senate. And I take him at his word there that because the senators are forced out of the House, that's the only place for them to go is up into the Senate.
Okay,
so
Matt.
That's one.
How about get a real job?
Actually, I agree with Matt in this respect. I think lobbyists and staffers in the state legislature have an undue influence because of term limits and lack of experience among the legislators. So, you know, I've never been a big fan of term limits, but at the same time, I know why people want them because we don't get enough turnover sometimes in
our
democracy.
No, Paul, look at the legislature. There's probably 25% of the legislature there today who was there 6 years ago. That legislature has completely turned over.
Yeah, I know.
And it's been that, and it's been that way since term limits came into play. And that's not necessarily a good thing
for
institutional memory, which is very little of that there.
I agree.
Bruce Ash and Paul Ekstrom. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
We agreed on something.
We did. Let's leave it on that note. Why don't we? Brought to you by Political Face-Off, brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. We can't give a better recommendation than Moe's. If you need any kind of framing, that's the place to go. Moe's Gallery. Check them out. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Thank you, Moe, for your support. Coming up now on, it is exactly 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and cockroaches. You know what I did? Smartest call I ever made in my life. I called my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. I was introduced to a guy named Joey. He'd been my technician for 11 years. A great job. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine. Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, we preview the Big Gem Show event that is open to all at the Tucson Convention Center this weekend, plus our Every Other Tuesday Arts Report presented by Fox Tucson Theater. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com for anywhere in the world, live streaming, podcasts, and our audio archive. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Today we resume our monthly interview series presented by Pima Community College. This series introduces our listeners to the very talented and dedicated educators who call Pima's six community campuses home. Today we're going to hear from Dr. Ricardo Castro Salazar. Dr. Castro Salazar is the Acting Vice President for International Development at Pima Community College, where he is also a political science professor. Dr. Castro Salazar, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
In your recent op-ed piece in the Arizona Daily Star that you wrote that the international efforts at Pima generated some concern among some folks in the community who believe that really we should be focusing on the community itself and maybe not our best interest to be looking globally. What do you say to those folks?
Well, they are absolutely right in some dimension, because we should focus on the community, but by internationalizing Pima, we are precisely bringing the world to our community and giving opportunities to learn about the world to our students and our community. So they're not mutually exclusive. They, in fact, are objectives that help us do our job, which is to offer educational opportunities to the community.
And Chancellor Lee Lambert is pursuing this internationalization. Obviously he feels it is, and perhaps you can articulate it for us. Why is it in then the best interest of PCC to, as some would say, import students from other countries?
Well, in reality, we are talking about different dimensions of globalization. When we talk about internationalizing Pima, we are not just talking about bringing students from overseas to our community. We are really talking about a lot more than that. And it is important because there is a you hear when you hear international educators talk about why this is important, you hear about the imperative of international education. And what I wrote about in the op-ed piece was really about imperatives. We're talking about different dimensions here. One of them is the institutional dimension. Just to cite one example, the HLC, the Higher Learning Commission, is very clear in terms of what they expect from colleges so that they can be certified. One of these things is precisely that institutions anticipate emerging factors such as globalization, and they say it precisely with those words. And then there is a pedagogical imperative and an economic imperative and a strategic imperative as well, and we can talk more about these other dimensions.
Well, I do want to talk about the strategic imperative, and to me it makes perfect sense because of where we're positioned, and I think Mayor Rothschild has picked up on this when he's talked about how important trade is right now, and he has really saying that he's replaced the legendary five C's, which are cattle, citrus, copper, cotton, and climate, to the five T's, as he calls it, of technology, and one of those
expertise, in fact, maybe right at the top of the list, Ricardo, is trade, transportation, tourism, teaching, all very important.
Absolutely. He is absolutely right. And we forget that the community today, any community, not only Pima County and the city of Tucson, we cannot really be defined by geographical boundaries anymore. We are interconnected. We are dependent on many factors that have to do with the globalized world that everyone talks about. But to give you a more precise example, we, for example, forget that our neighbor to the south is actually the main consumer of Arizona goods. And just to give you a comparative perspective, we export as a state something like a little bit over $1 billion in merchandise. We export $7 billion to Mexico. So they are by far the most important trading partner for the state, and that is not even including the $1 billion that Mexican consumers spend in Pima County.
How about the enrollment? How can this help the Pima enrollment, which has been dropping over the last couple of years? How can this infusion of international students help?
Well, the easy answer to that is that if we increase our international student enrollment, we will see an increase in our enrollments in general, of course. But I think the most important part of this is that the richness that international students bring to the community, and I can think, for example, of a situation where, if you're discussing, for example, the recent crisis in between the Ukraine and Russia, I guarantee you the experience will be the learning experience will be totally different if you have a Russian student in the classroom, for example, or mm-hmm. a student from the Ukraine. So that's the type of learning that we're looking at. International students bring very many opportunities for us to understand the world as well.
So where do you go from here, Dr. Castro Salazar, in this effort to make Pima as a friendly, a campus environment for these international students? What's the next step?
Well, like I said, it implies many different dimensions. Right now, we're working on a strategic plan for internationalization, and the effort is very inclusive because we are working with over 70 people in a committee that is working in subcommittees to develop different strategies and different approaches to how we are going to implement internationalization. One of these approaches, for example, is the infusing a global perspective in the curriculum. Another one is the development of a language institute, which, by the way, our ESL faculty has developed a new curriculum for ESL students, which will be very helpful in these efforts. Another one, of course, is the development of connections, not only abroad, but also within our community. We have entities right here in Tucson that understand the value of these connections, and we are working, for example, with the Visit Tucson office, with the city of Tucson, of course, and with the county in looking at these connections and how we can work together to make them more efficient.
And Visit Tucson has an office, I believe, in Hermosillo now, so there would be a good connection for Pima to piggyback with them.
You're absolutely correct. We are looking into that. In fact, Visit Tucson has another office in Ciudad Obregón in Sonora, and then another one in partnership with the UFA, I believe, in the city of Mexico, in Mexico City. So all of these all of these entities can help us develop our plan.
And there was the chancellor did a trip to China, and he was introducing, he tried to spread the word about Pima over in China as well. So that's a big player, I would think.
Absolutely. If we look at the numbers today in terms of where international students come to to the United States, Chinese students constitute around 31% of all international students in our country. So they are a big player. They're not the only big player. We need to develop relationships with other regions of the world. The Middle East used to be a very important partner with Pima College. And now I think we need to rebuild this area. And we of course, we're going to be looking at very many different regions.
All right, Dr. Ricardo Castro Salazar, he is the acting, and I'm sure he would like to be the permanent vice president, but no decision has been made on that for international development at Pima Community College. Ricardo, thank you very much for spending some time and talking about the Pima Community College moving toward more of a global education imperative. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Buckmaster Show at 12:45. We're going to get our Capitol update once a week. We're going to try to bring in a different lawmaker, our local lawmakers up at the Capitol, to give you an idea of what is important to them and what is going on at the Capitol during this legislative session. We'll be right back.
It's time again for the Pima Council on Aging's Ages and Stages Expo. Join us for this free event on Saturday, February 28th at the Casino del Sol Resort. There'll be exhibits, educational seminars, demonstrations, prizes, and live entertainment. Learn lots of new ways to enhance your life as you grow older. Ages and Stages is brought to you by CareMore, Jackson White Attorneys, Zounds Hearing, Cascades of Tucson, Desert Diamond Casino, and the Assistance League of Arizona. So, don't miss Ages and Stages on February 28th, because if aging isn't your issue now, it soon will be. Call 790-0405 or visit us online at pcoa.org. PCOA, the place to go for help when you don't know where to start.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. and now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. The Silver City area in New Mexico offers an escape from the ordinary. It's just 3 hours east of Tucson. Walk through the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Swim in the Gila River. Relax in a hot spring. Hike in the Gila National Forest. Visit historic downtown Silver City with all its galleries, antique stores, museums, and really fine restaurants. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. Has the full list of places to stay like Little Toad Creek Inn and all the many things to do in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. We continue now with our ongoing Capitol Update series. State Representative Chris Ackerley, Republican from District 2, joins us from the Capitol on the live line. Representative Ackerley, how are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks so much for having me on.
How is your freshman session going so far?
I'm having lots of fun. It is, I've been telling people I kind of thought I knew what to expect, but that does not mean that I was prepared for it. These first couple of weeks have been sort of an information management challenge as all of the things start to fly at you.
You are an educator, and you are a lawmaker, and one of our listeners, Noah in Sahorita, wanted me to ask you about your testing opt-out bill. Noah is concerned that this particular bill would bias any testing results. Tell us a little bit about the bill.
Well, the bill, and I think it might actually be on an agenda for this week in the Education Committee, is basically intended to recognize that parents actually do, in fact, have a right to opt their child out of state-mandated testing. And by so doing so, it wouldn't harm the school and then, by the extension, the district or the teacher on either end of that. Right now what we have is a situation where we've got an attorney general's decision in place, and granted it was a former attorney general, and so I'm not exactly sure how the current one would fall on this. But inevitably what they said was is that because the testing wasn't curriculum, parents didn't have, under Arizona state law, a right to opt out of it. But effectively they do. I mean, they can keep their kid home from school during the testing session. The problem is that especially at an elementary level, that means they'd have to keep their kid home for almost 2 weeks. And that's an awful lot of school to miss, and they're obviously not testing that entire time. It's just that the window of testing. So this bill is solely intended to recognize that parents do, in fact, have a right to opt their kids out of the state-mandated testing, and that in so doing so, they don't harm the school, the teacher, or the district as they use that data for school report cards and evaluating districts and evaluating teachers. Now, there is some concern that if you have, you know, a significant number of students opting out, that might cause some problems in the utilization of the test results. But my response to that is kind of, we already have problems with that. And so we're going to have to, over the course of this session and future sessions, take a really deep look at our assessment regime and how we're actually utilizing those. There's a place for standardized testing. And the place for standardized testing is measuring the effectiveness of the system, not necessarily every individual student. And so to measure the effectiveness of the system, you don't have to test every kid every year.
Okay, let's go to our live line. Our friend Jim Kelly would like to speak with Representative Ackerley. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Chris. Listen, in your opinion, governor's budget reflect a real economic commitment to Southern Arizona, and what could be done to improve that?
The governor's budget. I applaud the governor for holding to the things that he said he was going to do, and that is looking to get a structurally balanced budget and not cutting K-12 funding. The problem is what I see missing in the budget is that, just that, an actual plan to move forward. The budget, in a sense, solves a cash flow problem. It doesn't actually present a business model for moving forward, so to speak. It kind of almost assumes that we're not going to ever build a road or a new school again in Arizona. And I think that we have to start looking at putting those, many of our funding mechanisms have problems. They're, in fact, broken. And what we have to start looking at is putting mechanisms in place so that we can have that investment in infrastructure and education as we move forward into the future. And some of the actual proposals themselves on how to do the necessary cuts that we're going to have to do in order to solve the cash flow problem, they're kind of counterproductive. And so I would like to, I'm hoping that we're going to have a really honest discussion about those proposals as it works through the legislature. To date, we do not have a leadership's proposal in either the House or the Senate for what the actual details of their budget proposal is going to be. And then, of course, we go through the process of reconciling those with the governors and then also with the individual members. So it's important to know that this is just the start. The governor's budget is just the start of the conversation.
Representative Chris Ackerley is with us, Republican from District 2 here in Southern Arizona. Getting back to testing, it looks like the Ames testing may be up for early termination. Is that the way it's looking right now?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. I know that the superintendent has public instruction has cautioned everybody that she, in fact, like to just do away with or put on hold the testing for this year because it's going to be almost a nightmare to muddle through. Ames as a graduation requirement for new students going into 10th grade this year is already off the table. That's already been done away. Now, the question is that we still have some students who did not pass it last year as a 10th grader or before that in any particular cohort, and for them it still is a graduation requirement. Whether we look to like actually retroactively remove that graduation requirement, I don't know what the prospects of that are for this year.
What has been your biggest piece of learning of the learning curve for you, Chris Ackerley, up there in Phoenix?
I don't know how to best phrase it, but it's not really a coherent process. it is really rather chaotic how things move through the legislative process. And while I was, you know, for a lot of years, been monitoring the process and advocating different pieces of it from the outside, to actually be in it is something entirely different. And like I said, the amount of information that you have to manage is a lot of times overwhelming.
Do you have any other bills you have introduced beside the testing opt-out bill?
Well, yeah. And when I you know, one of the things I campaigned on is one education policy, and this is the only education bill that I have up this year because so much of the other stuff is in flux. A lot of other pieces are yet to be determined as we go through this session, so certainly want to look at some of those in a future session. But the other thing is representing the interest of Southern Arizona. And so the other three bills that I have are all specific to specific communities within Southern Arizona. My first bill will be heard in committee today, this afternoon, and it is to address some flood control issues in the small town of Patagonia. I have another bill that addresses some issues with the provisional community college structure in Santa Cruz County, and then another bill addressing some secondary tax issues that was related to South Tucson. So education policy, and then also representing the interests of Southern Arizona.
How do folks respond, get a hold of you if they would like to communicate with you, sir?
Well, the easiest way to do it is through the legislative website, and it's real simple. It's just AZLEG, so Arizona Leg, standing for legislature, .gov. And then if you go to the House members, the first one on the list, and the phone number and email are listed right there. Send me an email or call my office, and be happy to talk with you about with issues. But do understand with the emails, I am a little bit behind. So anybody who's out there waiting on an email, I apologize, but my hope is to get to them in the next week or two.
Chris Ackerley, State House LD2, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and have a good day.
Thanks a lot. Chris Ackerley with us on The Buckmaster Show. Want to do a big shout-out to Mike Emery and his team of really top-notch mechanics at Perfection Auto Works. I've gone over to the shop, I've looked it over, and from what I see, clean as a whistle. I mean, it's unbelievable how clean those the work bays there, and that kind of gives you an indication these are people that take what they do very seriously. Midtown location, very convenient, one block south of Speedway. They're at 1048 North Beverly, 323-8650, perfectionautoworks.com. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of our producer-engineer, Ed Alexander, I'm Bill Buckmaster. We have 4 Tucson at 4 this afternoon, then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 with Chris and Joe, the Daily Double from 8 to 9. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.